Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, you're looking fit and well.
Oh, Rick, the last 2 days
I've been... you got a new job. Hey, what's the pay rates of babysitting?
Wow. Hey? 3 hours down the aquatic centre yesterday, chasing my grandsons around. Day before, what did we do the day before? We were chasing them around here somewhere, around the yards and, oh my God.
You've got to realise that you're an old man.
Yeah, 60 last week, Rick.
Happy birthday,
thank
by
you
the
very
way.
Much.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's it. Hey, what did you do over the weekend?
What did I do?
Yeah.
Not a hang of a lot. I went to the footy. AFL, gather round.
What was it
what
like?
What a success.
What?
Double header I had at Footy Park.
Fantastic.
Yep,
at double Footy header. Park?
Yep, at Adelaide Oval, sorry. Might as well have been at Footy Park. Probably could have fitted them all in there.
Now, Phil, you reckon it was good?
Oh, exceptional. 85 million they've made out of that. And 92% of the accommodation throughout Adelaide was booked. All done and dusted. 3 more years of gather round. Isn't that great for the state?
Well, that's really interesting you've brought that up, Phil.
Yeah.
Because it would seem to me that I'd like to know how they can produce within 24 hours, as it were, that they've made 85 million. And I had a feeling that some of the big hotels in Adelaide, which I'm sure you've said the accommodation
92%.
Went up,
92%. That's not bad.
Well, I had a feeling that all those major hotels are owned by international chains. So the profits just went straight out the country, let alone out of South Australia. Now,
and sell-out crowds every game.
Oh, no, let's finish with the benefits. I mean, I'm sure that the toilet lady probably did a couple of extra rounds over the weekend to accommodate those people. But 85 million. She must be on a good working rate. Right? Now, what else did you want to say?
Sell out crowds.
Sell out crowds?
Packed out crowds.
Is that right, Phil? Well, that's pretty interesting because they have been able to announce that the official attendance for all games totaled 204,353.
Good crowd, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is relative to a game in the BL&G, but the week before, the total round number was 362,144.
Where'd they get those figures from?
Hey, so, I tell you what, the AFL, they must find the concept of a sellout and success pretty easy when there are only 162,000 people down.
Well, it's not much if you say it quick.
Hey?
It's not that bad.
Now, can you explain to me why there was no one at the Port game in your doubleheader?
Do you see how it was raining? I was sitting up the back of the stand. Hey? Oh, thank God
for
that.
But they were sellouts, weren't they?
Sellout.
Sellout.
Just that half the crowd left before the Port game because it was raining that much.
Oh, but the sellout includes
two games. Yeah, two games.
So you divide 50 by 2 and you get 25. Half of them leave, so you got about 20,000 people.
There's only 47 there, though, Rick, I think. So it's about 23,000 each.
So it's a bit of a smoke and mirrors exercise, isn't it?
Sort of, but very good for the state, Rick.
Very good. Well, so we've got one in the Barossa next year.
Next year, Nuriorton Underground.
Nuriorton
yep,
Under.
Yep.
So will your old beautiful home be bulldozed down to expand the Tanunda Oval?
Might have to be. It's only 2 metres short. That's 2 metres.
Oh, and what
about... Some of those guys can't even kick 2 metres.
What about the grandstands and the changing rooms?
No, they'll be finished by then.
Oh, will they?
Yeah, about 22 million or something they're spending there, aren't they? Oh. God, it's ridiculous.
It's not big enough.
What?
The ground. Or the Newry Oval.
It's wide enough now. It's just not quite long enough.
Yeah, I hear they forgot to take the tape measure when they were doing that.
The council. Good old Barossa Council.
Before we finish...
no more figures.
Before we finish with the economic benefits of this whole exercise, which I believe is a complete con trick from Mr. Gill himself, I think he's trying to go out on a high just before he leaves the job. And once he's left the job, he doesn't care anyway. One of the things I'd like you to explain to me, or maybe you could get him to explain to you, and then you can explain it to me.
Him.
But did you?
Mm.
Well, I
Mount Pleasant.
Well, did he tell Porky Pies when he was playing tennis? Now, you tell me this. If they're satisfied with putting an AFL game on for, you know, as it were, half a dozen people at Mount Barker,
why... Oh, it was sold out. Did you see the stands?
Why is he insisting that they need not only federal government but Tasmanian government? For Tasmania to have a team, they want a $400 million stadium to be built, and yet they'll play in Mount Barker. Hey, how do you work that out?
I've got no idea, Rick. We're spending too much time on this.
Now, very rarely do I quote or read an entire letter on our show, but I believe that in today's Tizer, this letter from Ian Tuck from Woodcroft is not only a great observation, but also challenges some of these concepts of what's financial success and not. So I'm going to read it. What am I missing? When an individual buys tickets to an event and then sells them prior to that event at a higher price than they paid for them, then they call it scalping, frowned upon by authorities and possibly prosecuted for doing so. When an event is held in the state and transport fares, accommodation and food costs are increased by suppliers, then it's called an economic benefit. 85 million, you said, Phil, is that right? 85 million economic benefit to the state, and is applauded by businesses as being a good thing. When does taking advantage of an event change from a great economic outcome to scalping? Can someone please explain?
Good. No idea.
Very valid point.
Perhaps they couldn't go to the game all of a sudden at the end, and then they had to quickly sell their tickets, and they made a dollar.
But they're not. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay. Let's move on. Well, I think we spent 7 minutes on that, Rick.
Well, I
and it's the best thing that's happened to the state besides the Grand Prix going to Melbourne. And
I mean, there's the other joke, that even if you argued that the Tanunda Oval would benefit from being 3 metres longer.
Two.
I mean, given that they have announced that the great Gather Me Round is only going to be 3 years longer here, there's going to be a few ovals that aren't going to get too much use after the 3 years, aren't there?
Well, could be. That could well happen. That's right. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go to our tips this week, Rick.
Oh, tips.
7 out of 9 last week, Rick. What about yourself?
I think mine was 6 out of 9.
Okay. Phil, so we're equal now, aren't we?
No, we're tips, not. Yeah, no, that's right. I'm ahead of you because I'll explain this to you. It's a bit like percentage in a game of footy.
Yeah, you're 5 points in
front.
Thank
you. So we're okay. Not, we are not equal.
Rick, this week, let's go through them quickly because
we are
8 minutes now we spent on that gather round.
Gather us around. You get it.
Frio and the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs for me. Port and West Coast.
Port
for me. GWS and Brisbane.
GWS and Brisbane. Brisbane will win that game.
Yep. Geelong and Sydney.
That's where I think we're
going to
be.
That is a tie.
I am going for Sydney.
I'm going Geelong.
Oh, well,
at home.
There's one.
At their stadium. Hawks and Adelaide. In Tasmania, I believe.
In Tasmania. And I tell you what, if it was going to be wet, I'm going to go Adelaide.
Oh, you've changed your tip in the last 5 minutes. I'm going Adelaide. Carlton and St Kilda.
St Kilda.
Carlton. They will bounce back after very poor performance.
They can't play. They're a two-man band.
Okay. Gold Coast and North Melbourne. Battle of the Wooden Spoon.
Gold Coast and North Melbourne. Gold Coast will win.
Gold Coast for me. Melbourne and Richmond.
Melbourne and Richmond. Melbourne comfortably.
Melbourne for me. Richmond have got a few injuries too.
Yes,
worries.
Yes.
Collingwood and Essendon.
That is going to be a... Gee, yeah,
Essendon
are
very good. I watched them here last week.
They have incredible Anzac Day games and have for many a year.
Yep, it'll be close.
It'll be close, all right. Everything inside me says Essendon, but I'm going Collingwood.
I'm going Collingwood. So we're a couple different, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
If we just go back to
Geelong and... Oh, and the St Kilda game. Yep.
If we just go back to Carlton for a brief minute, because I know you're going to have a go at me over time. You know... Everyone got carried away with Carlton being at the top of the table. Now, you know, Father Goose could be at the top of the table after a couple of rounds because nobody's sorted anything out. Can I just point out to our good listeners and yourself that they are at the top of the table at the end of round four with a 58-point tie with Richmond, who are nobodies.
Yep.
I think we'd agree.
I think so.
The only good win they really had was against Geelong, which they won by 8 points, and Geelong were playing...
with a pack a bit,
but
aren't they?
They were. Yep. They may not be, but they were at the beginning of the season. They beat GWS again, 70 by 10 points only.
Yep, not much in that.
And then, wacko, they beat North Melbourne. And all of a sudden, they're premiership favourites, and the Crows showed how where they
playing
really...
playing good footy.
Well... the Crows are playing. Mm. I didn't think I'd ever say
this. No, I don't want to say it.
The Crows
it
are playing good footy, but Carlton aren't the side that you... No. And you've picked them this week, Phil.
Tipped them this week to bounce back. A bounce back. Bounce back.
It's been a top quality side.
Okay. Two different this week, Rick. So I'll be two ahead of you in tips this week, after this week.
Time.
Let's move on, Rick.
Yes.
We've got the Bros and Light and Gawler Football Association first round.
I'm excited.
Me too, but I won't be there. Tanunda and Barossa. I think Barossa won this game last year. Same format. Oh, it's at Tanunda though this week, this year. Last year it was at Barossa, and Barossa beat them.
Yes, I know, but Barossa, I don't know, Barossa were just a side last year. They promised a bit. They fell into the finals, got beaten in the finals. I'll go Tanunda, thanks.
I'm going Tanunda. Just quickly, I'll run through the ins and the outs. Gilfroy for Tanunda comes in. I believe a key forward, quite a big lad from Sturt. And for Barossa, we've got Tapper, Nelson and Webb. None of those names mean a lot to me.
No.
But they probably mean quite a bit to Barossa. It's three ins for them. So, okay, we're both going Tanunda. South and Williston.
South comfortably.
South comfortably for me. Oh, they've only lost... I couldn't see too many ins for South. They've probably got a couple that unnamed, but they've lost a couple, Smid and them, but I'm going South.
Yeah, I am too. You've got to remember that although they have lost a couple of good players, they did win the reserves last year.
Yeah, so they've got a couple of good players coming up.
And they rotated a few players last year, so I'm quite happy with South.
Just for Williston, Willis, Holloway, Lehman and Coombs are their ins. Coombsy, I know, he went out to the Adelaide Plains last year.
Is that Darren Lehman? Gee,
yeah, Darren Lehman, he'd be in a forward pocket, wouldn't he? Okay, the next game quickly, Rick, we've got Kapunda versus Freeling.
You'd drive a long way to see that.
Kapunda going to be depleted. I believe Fraser Evans is not going to play too much. He's assistant coach at Sturt, so he will only play a half a dozen, if that, games for them this year.
Well, even saying that, unless there's a huge, 180-degree turn, Freeling have been shocking. So I'm going Kapunda.
Yeah, it's not a lot for Freeling. Tyler and Inski. Don't know either of those boys.
Not Outski.
Inski. Yeah. And for Kapunda, picked up Joel Aish from Amateur League, and he's been in the hills for a couple of years, and Parr. There's a couple of ins for Kapunda. Aishy can play. I've seen Aishy play in the Amateur League. Full forward. He's not a big lad, but pretty handy. I'll go Kapunda.
I'm going Kapunda.
Newry and Angaston, probably the match of the round, I would think.
Well, yes, in theory. Bearing in mind that Newry surprisingly won the grand final.
Yes,
on the day they deserved to. They weren't the best side over the year, but they won it.
Yep.
I can't see Angaston beating them.
I can't either. Angaston have got all their Summerton and Jay Shannon, they're all staying. They're all local players this year.
That is true, yep. Phil, but they're all a year older as well.
Rusker comes back from a year off, and he can play. State country player, local lad. And Cochrane from the Amateur League's another in for Angaston. And Newry, Baldwin's back from a knee recon ACL last year. So he's very, very handy, Jackson Baldwin. So Newry for me.
Yep.
And Central's got the bye.
Yep. So we'll see how we go there. Well, we're having a competition for
just each week we'll just now, tip. I think we agree on it.
You're going to have a busy weekend at the golf, aren't you?
No.
Golf?
Oh, I'd love to go down to it, but I can't. No.
You talk about accommodation and quality games. Now, Now we're changing leagues to something that is world class that's going on in Adelaide this weekend, the live golf. And they are anticipating incredible crowds watching.
Yep.
These are the state of the art.
Would it be a sellout like the Gather Round?
It'll be more than a sellout. and guess what? The money that they're on makes Patrick Dangerfield's contract look like a Sunday school picnic.
You're probably right. That Smith's on a few bob, isn't he? Can't even afford a haircut.
I tell you what, he's the hero of Australia.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
He's
good.
And he just comes over so
well.
Yeah,
he's a real good bloke, it sounds like, doesn't he?
Now, Phil, you're fantastic the way you've led me into
this.
Now, Phil, have you heard about the bloke who turned up for a game of golf with his mates? And on the first tee, produces, it sounds like you, a shocking pink golf ball.
Yep.
His mates are incredulous and mocking. Real men, they said, don't use pink golf balls. But this is no ordinary golf ball, he explained. The colour makes it impossible to lose. Bullshit, said one of his mates. I've been in a lot of spots where you'd never see that ball again. Well, I'll tell you something, he said. In those situations, the ball has direction-finding equipment. It emits a loud beep and you just follow the sound until you can find it. There's a silence while his mates consider this proposition. But one says, okay, smart ass, but what about if you hit the ball into the water? That's where it really comes into its own. It's got a flotation device that takes it to the surface. Then radio waves sense the nearest bank and solar-powered cells propel it to it. You just pick it up, dry it with your hanky, and keep playing. There's a long silence. That's bloody amazing. Where did you get it? I found it.
After all that, and he found it. All right, well, I think we're just about done, Rick. 17 minutes gone.
We are.
Absolute rubbish again, so...
No, well, I'll see you at the golf. I'll be at the first tee.
Will you?
Yeah.
You got your footy. You got to do your write-ups now.
Well, I might have to watch it on closed-circuit TV. All right, folks, until next week. This is Rick.
This is Phil.